Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and The God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. It is written, behold the words of the prophets, declare good to the king with one assent. Be thou like one of theirs, and speak thou good. It is written, and Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what my God saith, that will I speak. It is written, and the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee, that thou say nothing but the truth to me, in the name of the Lord? And a certain man drew his bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the armor. Therefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am sore wounded. And the battle increased that day, howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in the chariot against the Syrians. And about the time of the going down of the sun, he died. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. They tell me I must bruise the rose's leaf, ere I can keep and use its fragrance brief. They tell me I must break the skylark's heart, ere her caged song will make the silence start. They tell me love must bleed, and friendship weep, ere in my deepest need I touch that deep. Must it always be so with precious things? Must they be bruised and go with beaten wings? Ah, yes, by crushing days, by caging nights, by scar of thorns and stony ways, these blessings are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel according to Ahab. Here is a most amazing statement from the Word of God. Listen to it. Say nothing unto me but the truth in the name of the Lord. Now, what is so amazing about that? Well, the amazing thing is the identity of the person who said it. That statement actually came out of the mouth of King Ahab. Say nothing to me but the truth in the name of the Lord. That was said by Ahab, of whom it is said that he outdid all other kings that went before him to do evil. In 2 Chronicles 18:15, Ahab actually made that absolute unbelievable statement. Say nothing unto me but the truth in the name of the Lord. That is a statement worthy of the Apostle Paul. It is worthy of Peter or any other of the great heroes of faith throughout the Bible. And it was spoken by Ahab. Here's the background for that strange statement of Ahab. King Jehoshaphat, the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, paid a visit to Ahab, and while there, Ahab told him about some land they needed to be reclaimed from the hands of the Syrians. Ahab asked Jehoshaphat if he would join forces with him and take what was theirs. Jehoshaphat thought it was a good deal, all right, but he said, before we do anything, before we make any more plans, let us inquire at the mouth of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, it is always a good idea to inquire of the Lord regarding any decision you make. And this is especially true in the matter of your soul salvation. It is not what does the preacher or priest say, but what does the Word of God say? Since the will of God was not completed at that time, it would be necessary to ask the inspired prophets what the will of God was for them in this venture. Now remember, Ahab will say later on in the story, "Say nothing to me but the truth in the name of the Lord." Ahab actually meant, "Say nothing to me but the truth." If the truth of the Word of God is what I want to hear. Ahab said, "Now, Jehoshaphat, if you want to inquire at the mouth of the Lord, I've got 400 prophets of the Lord right here on the premises. Let's call in all 400 and see what they have to say." We know, of course, that if 400 preachers agree on any theological question, they must be right. Right? 400 preachers came in, and Ahab put the question to them. Shall I go up against Ramoth-Gilead in battle, or shall I forbear? Now, these 400 preachers were like some today. They knew what side of the bread was buttered on, and who it was that had all the butter. And not only who had all the butter, but all the margarine as well. So they said, "Go up, Ahab, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hands of the king." The head honcho of the prophets was Zedekiah, and Zedekiah was very dramatic. He fitted a set of horns on his head and butted around for a while and declared that Jehoshaphat and Ahab would push the enemy all over the place. Remember now, Ahab will say, "Say nothing to me but the truth in the name of the Lord." So far, so good. It seems that the Word of God is telling Ahab through the mouth of 400 prophets just exactly what he wants to hear. Zedekiah reminds me of what a former president said one time. Someone asked him how he advised young people. He said, "Well, I find out first of all what they want to do. Then I advise them to do it." That's good advice for preachers today. Before you preach any sermon, first of all, find out what everybody will like to hear and then tell them to do it. But don't stop there. Find out, secondly, what they don't want to hear and never make the mistake of telling them to do that. For example, never, 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 in preaching a sermon, use the R word. in a sermon, never mention the matter of repentance. Have them sing to the glory of God and repeat it several times. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Praise God, but never say the word, our word, under any circumstances. Don't make the audience feel guilty about anything. One time Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then he turned around and said it again. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus used the R word. Now Ahab had already made up his mind what he was going to do before they asked the Lord anything, in spite of his pious declaration that he would make, say nothing to me but the truth in the name of the Lord. Now the second thing that we bring out is that there are a few preachers who won't tell you what you want to hear unless it is indeed the truth of the Word of God. Jehoshaphat was not convinced that the 400 preachers were really telling the truth. He did not fall for their snow job. He must have regarded them as a bunch of liberals. These 400 prophets had probably been reading from a modern translation anyway. So he asked Ahab, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides these that we might inquire of him? Ahab said, yes, there is one other. His name is Micaiah, the son of Imlah, and I hate him because he never tells me what I want to hear. He always uses the R word. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. So Ahab called him in. Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Ladies and gentlemen, the preacher who preaches the truth of God's word is going to be hated. Ahab hated this preacher. Even the Apostle Paul did not escape this. He said one time, am I become your enemy because I told you the truth? One time in a church service about to convene in the court of Louis XIV, the preacher was one who had the reputation of telling the truth even to King Louis. He let it all hang out. Before the services began that day, there was a buzz of conversation in the congregation. As the preacher entered the assembly, there was a field marshal in the audience, a high-ranking military officer. When the preacher was coming in and heard the whispering of those who were round about, the high-ranking military officer whispered to those who were conversing round about him, silence! Here comes the enemy! Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it is. A preacher who is true to the Word of God is often regarded as the enemy. Actually, in any church service where the unsaved are present, or church members who live hypocritical in different lives, they should always be made to feel uncomfortable by the message of that day. However, most of the time they feel inspired and uplifted by the message that they hear and tell the preacher what a good boy he is because he left off the R word. If America needs anything today, it needs to hear the R word. Jesus told the apostles to comfort the afflicted. In some circumstances, however, the preacher needs to afflict the comfortable. The messenger that was sent to summon Micaiah gave him some advice before he came in. He said to him, now the other prophets have prophesied good to the king with one mouth. So let thy word be the same as theirs. This is the great temptation to the preacher today. Go with what they call the mainstream. Preach the same message all the others preach. Micaiah told him, whatever the Lord said, he would say it. So the king asked Micaiah the same question that he'd asked the 400. Micaiah, shall I go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Micaiah had three things to say. The first thing he said was, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. It sounds like Micaiah is saying the same thing as the 400 other prophets. until we noticed the king's reaction. He said, "How many times have I told you? Say nothing to me but the truth in the name of the Lord." You see, Micaiah was being sarcastic. "Sure, Ahab. Go on up, just like the 400 people have advised you. Go ahead, Ahab." The second thing Micaiah told Ahab was, "I saw all Israel scattered over the hills without a shepherd." To this, Ahab reminded Jehoshaphat, "See, I told you. He wouldn't tell me what I wanted to hear. He always prophesies evil against me. He continues to use the R word." Micaiah had a third thing to say. He said, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne and all the host of heaven standing before him on his right hand and on his left. The Lord said, 'Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?'" Different ideas were presented, but one spirit stood before the throne and told the Lord that he would go up and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. The Lord said, "Thou shalt persuade him and prevail. Go forth and do so." Evidently, a council is sometimes called in heaven. One thing for sure, the Lord is highly interested in the affairs of his church here on earth. Hear it again. "Say nothing to me but the truth in the name of the Lord." Ahab said, "Put this fellow in prison and feed him on the bread of affliction and the water of affliction until I return in peace." As they led him to his jail cell, Micaiah's parting shot was, "If thou return in peace, the Lord hath not spoken unto me." Now Ahab did not believe what Micaiah said, but evidently he was not all that sure about it. So just to be sure there would be no foul-up, he decided to go into battle in disguise. We believe there are many folk in this position today. They may scoff and ridicule. They may look at the Bible as a bunch of fairy tales, but down deep inside they wonder, suppose it is true after all. Sure, I don't believe in hell, but suppose there is a hell. Suppose there is a life after death. Suppose the Bible is true. Paul reminds us in Galatians, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life." Ahab had sown to the flesh. He murdered, stole the man's vineyard, worshipped idols, and he will reap of the flesh corruption. You know, there is nothing any more revolting and disgusting to a human being than the stench of a rotting human corpse. And if the flesh of a rotting, dead human body is so repulsive to us, think what the stench of a rotting soul must be in the nostrils of our holy God. If you sow corn, you reap corn, not tomatoes. If you sow beans, you reap beans, not something else. If you sow to the flesh immorality, perversion, drunkenness, you will reap of the flesh a corrupt, stinking soul that will stand before our holy God on the day of judgment. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Ahab would soon find out there was no way to escape the judgment of God as given by the prophet Micaiah. It was 400-1, but God plus one make a majority. In the meanwhile, the king of Syria was making plans to kill Ahab. He instructed 32 captains before the battle to fight neither with the great or the small, but only with the king of Israel himself. 32 captains went into the battle with one thing in mind: get Ahab. They couldn't find him. They couldn't find him anywhere. As far as they went, they were concerned. They looked for him, and to no avail. As far as they were concerned, they failed to find him. But God is not mocked. God did not need 32 captains looking for Ahab. God did not need any help from anybody to find Ahab in the battle. God said he would die and the dogs would lick up his blood, and they did. During the battle, a certain man drew his bow at a venture. He did not know who he was shooting at. He wasn't sure he could hit the mark from that distance. It was a random shot, and that arrow found its mark. He had no idea his arrow shot at random would pierce Ahab. He smote the king of Israel between the joints of the armor. Some think that the joints of the armor was the groin area. He smote the king of Israel between the joints of the armor. Yowie! Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, "Turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am sore wounded." The battle increased that day. Ahab was stayed in his chariot, and about the time of the going down of the sun, he died. After the battle, before they cleaned up his chariot, the dogs came and licked his blood, just like the Lord said. One wonders if the wounded Ahab thought of Micaiah and his prophecy before he died. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That statement about the man who drew his bow at a venture is intriguing to me. That man was not shooting at anyone in particular, but the arrow found its mark just as Micaiah predicted. Much of our preaching is of this nature. We draw our bow at a venture. Sometimes people in the audience think I am preaching directly at them. There was a child one time in one church service on the way home who asked her mother, "How did that preacher know what happened at our house last week?" Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what goes on behind the closed doors of your house. I do not know what kind of porn you look at or read. I do not know how much booze you swill. For all I know, you may be shacked up, you may be a pervert, but I don't know your lifestyle. I don't know how many of you use the Lord's name in vain every day at home. As you know, I usually remind you of the gospel plan of salvation every time I preach. I don't have anyone in mind, but I am drawing the gospel bow at a venture, and I am assured that it will find its mark on the soul of someone I may never know about. I know what people are like in many situations, both in and out of the church, and when I preach the word of God, I draw my bow at a venture, and I am sure the arrow will hit somebody. I never know who it is unless they holler, "Yowie!" But now, what does all this mean to us? Say nothing to me but the truth, in the name of the Lord. For a great many, it means the same as it meant to Ahab. Speak the truth to me as long as it is what I want to hear. I have seen this motto on many church bulletin boards as I drive by. If the Bible teaches it, we believe it, and that settles it. That sounds like a good motto, but I see it on bulletin boards of churches who have different names and who believe different things. Apparently, the Bible says different things as far as different people are concerned. But are we to believe that God tells one person to do one thing and then tells somebody else to do something different? Does God tell some people to be Protestant and then turn around and tell others to be Catholic? The answer that many give is the insipid statement, "Well, it's all a matter of interpretation. You see it one way, and I see it another. It all depends on how you interpret it." It seems to me that we ought to be able to accept the Scripture at face value. Here is the way it is. People read the Scripture through different eyeglasses. If I read the Scripture to someone regarding the terms given for salvation on the day of Pentecost through plain glasses that have not been tinted, Acts 2:38 reads like this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That may seem strange to some, so they say, "Wait a minute. Let me put on Grandpa's glasses." He puts on Grandpa's glasses and carefully adjusts them over his ears and says, "Now I see it clearly." It does not say what is perfectly obvious. It does not say, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." but it says repent for the remission of sins and then be baptized. They see it as Grandpa saw it. They don't realize that Grandpa bought his glasses at the corner drugstore and never did get a good fit in the first place. Ladies and gentlemen, it may be a dangerous practice to wear Grandpa's glasses. However, some will still insist on wearing Grandpa's glasses when they read the Bible. I want to see the Word of God just like Grandpa saw it, and besides, if Grandpa knew that I was not wearing his glasses when I read the Bible, he would turn over in his grave. They seem to think there is an inherent righteousness in wearing Grandpa's glasses. To others, it's not a matter of reading the Bible with Grandpa's glasses, but by wearing the tinted shades, the tinted glasses of their denomination and or preacher or priest. The plan of salvation looks plain enough to any person of grade school intelligence, but before they make any decision in the matter, they must put on the glasses with their denominational tint. Ladies and gentlemen, God does not recognize Protestant glasses of whatever shade. God does not recognize Catholic glasses. Just read about salvation with 20/20 vision in the clear glass of the Word of God. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Say nothing to me but the truth, in the name of the Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.